Blog Talk Radio.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, D.O.P. and D.O.I. Say, Lord, I really...
Good morning. You're tuning in to the live radio blog talk broadcast of The Word is Right in conjunction with Past Generation Lost in the Mix, Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders from the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Top of the Tuesday morning to you. We're going into three more days before we go into October. But before we begin, I want to give a holler out to my husband, District Superintendent Pastor Robert R. Sanders II. Truly, it's been a blessing. We've had a very, 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 very tiresome week. I tell you, it has been busy. Many of you all know about our church dedication, which was awesome. We thank God for some of the members of the 3rd Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction, along with my father-in-law, Bishop Sanders, coming out to support us. And then on the top it off, one last Thursday, which was September the 22nd, we were able to have our installation district and elevation dinner. And, of course, the international chairman of the Pastors Elders Council, the administrative assistant district superintendent, Pastor Michael Eady, brought a spectacular, blessed and prosperous message. I tell you, we had a great amount of people that supported, and we thank God for all of you all that were able to come, that supported us genuinely, New First Church and a few of our other counterparts in the ministry. We thank you so much, especially our dear friend, Pastor Gay, who we were renting his church. We thank God for him and all that came. We've had so many deaths going on in Chicago. It's been really, really just overwhelming. My husband's aunt, his mother, last living sister, Madeline Cross Cunningham, we were at her services on Saturday, and they buried her right in Oakwood Cemetery, not too far from Mother Sanders. And she was the last sister in the Cross family under the late Bishop Moses and Mother Priscilla Cross. Also, we know about Vanessa Brown Dukes and the Brown sisters. She lost her husband, Forrest, and he was funeralized on this past Saturday. And the state supervisor for Illinois 5th West, Mother Rosemarie Stent, went home to be with the Lord. Her funeral as well was Saturday, and concluded on Sunday was my state supervisor that I grew up under. Well, I grew up under two of them, and that was the late Mother Carrie Cantrell. But the one that I received my license under was the late Mother Charlotte Eve. I remember her so well. She was the one that issued my license to me in the year 2000, when we came over from Indiana in 2000. So Mother Eve is gone home to be with the Lord. There's so many deaths going on, and we just don't have time for a lot of foolishness that is going on. A lot of people who are sick and afflicted and convalescent, we need to keep people up before God as much as we ought to do every day of our life. Listen, on this morning, we're dealing with a topic that is starting to become a lot of things going on. As you see on my Facebook, I put right before our eyes, we are seeing such a great falling away from various religious denominations. Right before our eyes, we are seeing how religious leaders have never received God. They never received the power of the Holy Ghost. They never got right. Many of them graduated into the church the wrong way to see how men that are claiming to be God are threatening to kill other men, hiding behind the clergy collar and living an outright lie among the people, physically using social media to attack those because of the truth, leaders that so many looked up to only to find out later how it does corrupt, disrupt the soul and the mind of the sheaves, sitting on the leaders that can't minister to the need of your soul because they are too busy seeking for higher titles and status to only destroy others to get to where they want to get. Why backsliders are so solid and not wanting because of what family have done and other church folks have caused, secrets, lies, and deception. Souls are important, are the important goal. What happened? Time to seek answers. I want to go into the Bible scriptures right quick and talk about what does the Bible say about bad leadership. In the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, the 1st through the 4th verse, it says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pastures, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people." When you are given a charge over others' lives in the ministry, you are not to damage anyone. This is why the Bible says your calling and election. You need to know this is the truth about your calling and election. A lot of leaders get off into ministry for the wrong thing. And what happens is that they look at the money, they look at the style, they look at the cars, the big houses, and they think that's what it's all about. No, it is not all about car, houses, and big money. It's about your relationship with God. And this is why a lot of the people that are sitting up under a lot of ministries, they become so disgruntled. And I was sharing with my husband, I said, it makes no sense to sit up under a leader that separates the husband from the wives to make it a cult. And the men sit over here and the women sit over there. What kind of foolishness is that? What kind of stuff is that? We have people that are programmed against what makes sense in the Bible. Let me go back to Jeremiah. "You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord." This is where the rubber meets the road. When you have scattered the sheep that are under your watch and under your charge, God is going to deal with you. There was a situation, I think I shared about it, but my husband talked about it in his message on Sunday, where a bishop attacked me just for putting an emoticon face on another preacher's YouTube, you know, in a comment. And the man didn't know me from a can of paint. And he turned around and literally was picking a fight. He wanted to fight. But my thing is, why are you fighting me? If you don't like the guy, you need to fight him. But see, the way you want to fight isn't having to do the scripture. It's about what you do personally. Only to find out later on that this man has a problem. He loves picking on other men's wives. Now, guess what? You're wearing a collar as a bishop, but God going to deal with you. And see, if I deal with you, I'm going to jail. I'm going to fall out of the ranking with God. You're not worth that. You're not worth that. So now you have these leaders that feel, well, I'm a bishop, but I'm an archbishop, but I'm whatever. Your title has made you so dumb that you don't even see what you're doing. And then when you go to church on Sunday, you act like ain't stuff, nothing's going on. Then you want all the people that's supporting you to go and support you and your hidden junk because they're not living with you every day. They're not with you every day. You're sitting here and you're pretending to be saved, but then you switch off and you're calling people out their names. I don't understand it. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but here we're dealing with people that never got saved. And you wonder why the ministry's all messed up. Let me go back to the word. "Then I would gather the remnant of my flock out of all these countries where I have driven them, and I would bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I would set shepherds over them who would care." That is the problem now. we have shepherds that don't care because it's all about what they want, they feel, they need, you know, in their own. It's sad of what they do and how they do. And so when I look at these things, I look at this stuff that it makes no sense. You go to church to do what? You go to church to do whatever you want to do, right? So here we go. You take these sheaves, you bring these sheaves into the ministry, and you don't feed them the word. You feed them poison. You feed them what you think it should be. You feed them according to what your mind feels it should be. You're not feeding them the word of God. I was talking to someone on yesterday, and they was telling me why they won't come back to the church because of secrets, lies, and deception. This is what takes out a lot of people, and this is why the backsliders don't want to come back, because they've seen too much. My husband was talking about that. We talk about that often. And I said, you know, what I know now, I probably would have done better had I not left, but I didn't know how to filtrate the sins of my family and the sins of those who I was around growing my home church. I saw so much confusion, so much division, so many lies, and so many hurt, and so much pain, and people having their own favoritism, and people picking on folks, and people talking on folks, and family member telling you what you shouldn't do, and what you need to do, all these people, and the majority of them are dead now. But the crazy part is that the leader, I ran to the church to look for comfort after dealing at home with my people having their issues after my aunt had passed away, my grandmother's sister passed away. She was the only one I clinged to. When she died, I had to deal with my functioning addict parents. I had to deal with all of that. While folk in church thinking, oh, treat the spoils, you live in the big house. Let me tell you something. You don't know what I was dealing with in my house. I had to deal with my grandmother being on alcohol. I had to deal with my mother being on crack, being on heroin, watching her shoot that stuff in my face. My father, alcoholic. I had to deal with a lot of stuff while you worried about me being in a big house or you worried about me having clothes. My parents worked every day. So, of course, they have clothes. They're going to put me in clothes. What do people think that you're supposed to be put in? A sheet or a pillowcase? Or maybe some fig leaves. People were so hateful towards me because I was the only child. But understand, did you ever ask me for once what was going on in my house? Did you ever ask me for once what was going on in my world? Did you ever ask me how I was feeling? No, you were too busy looking at the outside instead of looking at the inside. What was she seeing when she was growing up? Nobody ever asked me that. Nobody. Never understood where my mind was. I didn't go around flaunting because that's what they bought me. I lived at home with people who didn't have a relationship with God after my aunt died, and I had to swim for my life. I had to fight for my life while everybody is hating and everybody is sitting up making all kind of assumptions like I got servants and butlers and horses and chariots and all that kind of stuff. I ain't had none of that. I had a 13-inch black and white TV until I moved out of my mama's house and still had it when I got ready to move. So I didn't know what luxury was. Don't get mad because my family bought a property. The property was from my great-grandmother, and she lived in long enough to where she died. But the point of the matter is, these were church folks that were sitting up saying stuff. And then sitting up under a leader that literally tried to control your mind and tell you you need to get your head out and say, listen to me, all that kind of foolishness. What kind of stuff is that? I ain't trying to be funny, and I'm just going to be honest. My brother-in-law got up at our banquet. I'm going to be honest, beloveds. I want to take a chair, and I want to hit him side his head. I promise you, yes, I did. You know why? Because he got up and lied before the people in the banquet and said, oh, me and my brother, we talk every day, all day. We go out to breakfast every week. We go to breakfast. What? Really? When and where? When and where? He's at work every day. He off on Saturdays and Sundays. What are you talking about? What in the devil are you talking about? What do you mean you go out to Birmingham every day? We don't see that. You lie. He lied before the people. Yes, he did. My brother-in-law, district superintendent Roland Terry Sanders, lied to people at the banquet and lied to put on a front before the people. Yes, he did. He lied. And I sat there, and the kid from getting up because of our guest, I just laughed so hard to where I was laughing in anger, like, how can you sit right before people and outright lie? You lied in front of my son. You lied in front of people of something that you don't even do. You should have told the folks that you tried to literally destroy your brother's reputation. You tried to. That's what I mean by messing people's heads up. When somebody do that, I don't like Satan, and that means I don't like them because they possess the spirit of the devil. This is what I mean by shepherds that scatters the flock. That's a perfect prime example. You got these people that call themselves ministers, and they do some of the most damnable things to sheep, and you think I'm going to sit under you and let you do it to me? I don't think so. Do you know how hard it takes to get your mind together? Do you know how hard it takes to get your soul together? Let me go on. It's in Proverbs 16 and 12. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Leaders, it's wrong for you to do evil. It's wrong for you to lie. It's wrong for you to manipulate. It's wrong for you to swear and curse. It's wrong for you. It's wrong. It's so wrong, but you see it to be right. This is what I mean by the state of the church. In 1 Timothy 3:1-5 says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, that means a bishop, he desires a notable task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, not a girlfriend and five other women, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, apt to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how would he care for God's church? If you can't do any of that, and you're taking your money, and you're messing around with other women, and you're spending the night with mistresses, and you're having girlfriends. I heard a conversation yesterday. Woman, oh, I'm the mistress. And she said it proud. She said it very proud. Like, ooh, I'm the mistress. I'm the mistress. I'm the mistress. I have children, my God. I have children. You know, mistresses kill me. They always got to have this, they think, oh, I'm so grand. Mistresses are not grand at all. I promise you they're not. Mistresses are demonic, and they will suck the life and the breath out of your life and out of your house. That's how they do. And this, we put too much honor on mistresses, as mistresses have some form of respect or godliness. It's sad that we do this and we act like we honor these men. See, some of these men, I'm going to tell you something. You all go out here and you mess around with all those different women, and you come back, and what do? You turn around, and then you marry these old nasty women, and then they feel, well, I have to have honor. No, you don't have to have no honor. You a dog. A mistress lays down with anything. She lays down with anything and everything. That's what she does. That's what mistresses do. Mistresses turn around and they destroy everybody's life and family. They don't take you into consideration and say, oh, God, you know, I'm wonderful. No, they don't. The problem with mistresses is that they're ungodly women, and that's how they do things. They do things ungodly. Their souls are not sold out to Jesus Christ. Their souls are not sold out to want to be saved. They all in for keeps. They all in for keeps. They are literally all in for keeps. And the crazy part is that when they sit up there and they do these things, guess what happens? Then the people want respect. Respect my home. Respect my mistress. Respect everything she does. Respect, respect, respect. Why do you feel that your mistress needs to have all this respect? Because you decided that you want to be with somebody that's nasty? And what I can't understand is that we bring all of this stuff into the church and we want everybody to take it in and suck it in and suck it in and act like that ain't no big issue. It is a big issue because you're doing the wrong thing outside of the will of God. It's sad. It is so sad. And the bad part is that we try to justify sin acting as if it is right. Here's another Bible verse. When you have these leaders, they are not to put themselves above God. Any leader that put himself above God is walking into the dangerous territory of God because God's wrath is deadly. God's not going to play with you. If you feel you bigger than God, then you need to be in your own world somewhere else. Maybe go to Dubai and create your own little thing and have people. This is what messed up a lot of folk with Jim Jones. A lot of you all might not have known, but you need to research the Jonestown of Guyana. You need to know what happened with Jim Jones and the 950 people that he took with him. And that's what it is. You have leaders right now that want to be bishops. You want to sit up here and do things and scandalous things. In the book of Psalms 101:5 says, whoever slanders his name secretly, I will destroy. Look at what's going on. We see it all the time on YouTube. We see it all the time on Facebook. We're destroying people because people that's supposed to be men of God are not living a life before the people. How can the men in the church that are leaders claim to love God, claim to have a relationship with God and know God, go around and want to kill folks? I want somebody to help me understand that. How can you call yourself a leader and you want to go and use women to do dirty work to hide because you want to take down somebody else? I don't see God in that at all. I don't see it at all. And this is why we're in a state of confusion right now. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. That's the way that should go. When the wicked rule, we all should be. When the wicked rule, R-U-L-E, we should be complaining. Because you're wicked. A lot of these men never got saved. Acts 20:28 says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. This is what I'm trying to tell you. We don't have durable leaders. It's very hard to find good pastors because every good pastor got a script. They have a script. But then you take the sinful nature of man and you try to blend it into holiness. It don't work like that. When you were in the world, you did things like the world. You spoke, dressed, talked like the world. But when you have switched over and given your life to God, you literally don't have that life no more if you repent. And what I'm understanding, a lot of these men have never repented. Came over here into the church and decided to do what they wanted to do. They paid their way to get to the top. And when they, get to the top, do they feel, well, I can talk about who I want to talk about because I can't. No, you can't. You can't do what you want to do. You can't sit up and destroy other people's lives because that's what you feel you want to do, you know, and whatnot. You can't sit up and do stupid stuff and think that these things are right. It's not right. It literally is not right. And then you sit up here and you perpetrate over the people and you do all of these things before those who need help. You are hindering these people. I mean, literally, you are hindering these people. You're sitting up, you're not living right. And then if you made a mistake in your life, why do you feel that you have to go and feel that you are better than these folk? And you're not. You're supposed to help somebody when you have fallen. When you have fallen, you're supposed to help somebody get back up because you understand what it means to make a mistake. But instead, you're not doing that. Why? Because you don't want to. You got men that did some shady stuff, but they can't even get to the part of repentance. I mean, literally repenting. Why? Why we cannot repent? What is the problem? God has given people enough room to repent. But I don't think nobody want to repent because I don't think nobody really want to get saved. Because if you do, we wouldn't be seeing all of this stuff. We wouldn't be seeing all of these things that is going on. And I promise you, it's so sad because you're hurting the young people. You're messing their mind up. That's why they turn into the world to do what they want to do in the world, because the world offers a lot more than what you think. And the bad part about it is that they don't even care. And this is what you do to people. This is what you do to people. And the bad part is that they don't care whose lives that they affect. When my husband left, he left for the same reason why I left, because of the hypocrisy that we saw. The hypocrisy that we've seen in all areas of life. In the church, we depended on leaders to do things, but these leaders had secrets. These leaders had adultery and infidelity all popped out. A lot of them had a lot of babies outside that tore up their families, and then your families no longer want to be in a church. And I'm not saying that everybody is perfect, but I'm going to tell you something. Some church kids, they see so much in the church, they ask their parents, why are you still in it? Because no matter what you say, they're like, still, I don't see God nowhere. They literally have given up on God because they think that and I told my children, I said, look, you get saved because you want to be saved. You get saved because you know it's what you need to do. But I don't want you playing in the church. I do not want you playing in the ministry. So my whole thing is we have to stop. And for us that continue to let these things go as if there is no big issue, if you don't start crying out, you are just as bad as everybody else. I promise you, you need to cry out. Stand up and cry out. If you get ostracized or kicked out, then maybe that's the place you need to be at. So understand, people, we need to stop going on. To be able to live right before others and live the life that Christ expects us to live, not living life according to our theories, according to our methods, according to what we think it is. It's not about that. It's about what you do for Christ. But your own life, you should care enough about your own life to have a relationship with God because you love God. If you don't love God, get out the church. Do what sinners do. Ain't nobody going to be mad at you. We'll miss you. I promise you. But if you don't want to get right, stay out the church. Because when you plan, you are bringing abomination to yourself. Until later on this week, we'll be back. And remember, holiness is right.
Do me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOB and BOI. Say, Lord, I really
want to live my life
totally. Please. like this.
I've been doing some thinking lately, And I know and believe that God still works miracles. Yet I'm so very, very grateful for what some call the simple thing. I just want to take a moment here. This is my prayer. Listen.